If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, beginning of verse 8. Usually I use the NIV Bible just because I think the English is easier. But today I got King James. If it's good enough for Charlie Brown, it's good enough for me. Luke chapter 2, beginning of verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they'd heard and seen, as it was told unto them. As we come to this familiar story, let's go to God in prayer, shall we? Father, again, as we repeat the stories, Lord, I pray that none of us put this time aside. But Lord, may we listen to your words. May we listen to your spirit. May this be a day when we can rejoice even more because of our Savior. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. During the past Sundays of Advent, we've been looking at some of those involved in the Christmas story. They're on the banners behind me. First, there were the prophets. For hundreds of years before his birth, prophets foretold the coming of the Anointed One, the Messiah, or as they say in Greek, the Christ. Around 685 B.C., the prophet Micah in Micah 5, verse 2, gave the place of his birth. He wrote, But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, that is out of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. Around 600 B.C., Daniel in Daniel chapter 9 gave the approximate date for his coming. And then we considered the angels. As the time got closer to the fulfillment of God's promises, God's messengers, the angels, carried out the final touches. Zechariah, Joseph, and Mary all had visits from angels. Things were as ready as they could be for the birth of the promised Messiah. And then last week we looked at the wise men, probably the last ones to recognize Mary's infant son as they announced King of Kings, King of the Jews. But Jesus' birth wasn't announced to the most important people in the nation, not to the political leaders, not to the religious leaders or even military leaders, not to the wealthy merchants or men or women of distinction. None of them got the word. In Jerusalem, about 6 miles away from Jesus' birthplace, King Herod and the religious leaders went about their daily chores without a clue. Only some poor shepherds living in the fields received the announcement that today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. So what made the shepherds so special? Why shepherds? It would seem reasonable that the first to be found, given invitations to see the Christ, the Messiah, would be the religious leaders of Israel, maybe the political leaders. But no, the first people to hear the good news were not political leaders, religious leaders, the rich, even the family of Mary and Joseph. The first to hear the good news and receive invitations to come and see the newborn king were shepherds. There's absolutely nothing special about shepherds. In fact, In the days of Jesus, shepherds were on the low end of the totem pole. Shepherds weren't trusted. They are looked upon as being thieves and liars. They lived secluded away from the rest of society, and they were poor. The Talmud, a collection of rabbinic writing, says, no help is to be given to heathen or shepherds. Like harlots, tax collectors, and lepers, shepherds were social outcasts. And as well as being social outcasts, their work with dead and dying animals made shepherds ceremonially unclean. Since they would spend weeks in the fields away from cities and the temple, they couldn't even go through the purification rites that would cleanse them. They were always unclean. This meant that if anyone touched them, they would be unclean too. So except for other shepherds, no one else would have anything to do with them. They're all social outcasts, and they're unclean. And as a class of people, shepherds had earned a bad reputation. They were unreliable. As a group, they had a bad habit of confusing what belonged to them with what belonged to others. Their reputation was so bad that they were even considered to be too unreliable to be allowed to give testimony in a court. But of all the possibilities, God chose shepherds who were considered outcasts, unclean, and unreliable to others. God chose them to be the first to learn of the birth of the Savior. And what were they doing? They were taking care of sheep. Since these shepherds were close to Bethlehem and close to Jerusalem and the temple, many assumed that they were watching over flocks which were destined for sacrifice in the temple itself. It'd just be like God to choose shepherds who looked after the temple lambs to be the first people to see the one called by John the Baptist, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Just like the sheep the shepherds watched over, Jesus was going to be sacrificed for the sins of mankind. Isaiah prophesied about that. Turn back to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, beginning of verse 4. And now I'm back to NIV. Isaiah 53, beginning of verse 4. Isaiah wrote about this Messiah. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we consider him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are all healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Paul put it this way in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Peter 1:19 calls him a lamb without blemish or defect. And later in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, Peter wrote, he himself carried our sins in his body on the cross. So why did this angel appear to shepherds instead of the priests and the scribes or the ultra-religious zealots called the Essenes or even to King Herod himself? I think Paul kind of explained why in 1 Corinthians. So turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, begin verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, begin verse 26. 1 Corinthians 1, begin verse 26, goes like this. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are so that no one may boast before him. God doesn't call many of the rich and mighty. He calls the poor, the lowly. He doesn't call those who rely on their own education or their own position in life or in their own strength. He calls those who rely on him, regardless of their station in life. That's why the angels appeared to the shepherds. They were the poor. They were the lowly. They were the outcasts. And no one let them forget it. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world. The world. That's all people. Not just the beautiful people. The angel said, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. The angels appeared to the shepherds to show that everyone matters to God. On the day of Jesus' circumcision, Simeon said the same thing. Turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, beginning verse 25. Luke 22, beginning verse 25. We read, Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Jesus came for everyone, for Gentiles as well as the Jews, for outcasts as well as the acceptable. Romans 10:13 says, Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The second part of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 adds, The Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Shepherds were social outcasts, unclean, unreliable, but chosen by God. They were taking care of sheep. The angels appeared to the shepherds to show that everyone matters to God. And how did the shepherds respond to the call of the angels, to all that they saw? Luke recorded a variety of emotions and responses that they experienced during and after the angelic encounters. When God's messenger, an angel, suddenly appeared with the glory of God, no one was surprised at their first response. They were so afraid, or you could say they were terrified. These men who fought thieves, bears, and lions and wolves, these brave men weren't just a little bit afraid, they were downright terrified. Honestly, who wouldn't be afraid in the presence of God's glory? Maybe they thought their sins were catching up with them, and now they were going to suffer the consequences. Perhaps they thought the angel came as an angel of judgment for their off-color jokes, their bad language, their sticky fingers. Whatever the case, they were so afraid, they were terrified. But instead of judgment, the angel brought them good news of great joy, the gospel. The angel proclaimed that God had sent the promised Savior. The Savior Jesus had come to meet man's greatest need, salvation from God's wrath, salvation from the fires of hell. According to the angel, this baby born in Bethlehem was Christ the Lord. He was the Messiah, God's anointed one. He is also the Lord. He isn't just any Lord. He is the Lord God. This baby is God and Emmanuel, God with us. And the angel finished by giving a sign in Bethlehem. In Bethlehem, there may have been several newborn babies wrapped in swaddling clothes, strips of cloth, because that was the accepted custom of the day. But there was only one baby lying in a manger, an animal feeding trough, and his name was Jesus. These shepherds didn't just accept and enjoy the message they received. Like Joseph, they acted on it. Luke writes that they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. The word hurried off means they left in haste. They didn't dilly-dally. They left as soon as they could. The Bible's clear that acceptance must lead to action. James 2:17 says, faith by itself, if not accompanied by actions, is dead. Shepherds could have delayed, they could have doubted, they could have procrastinated, but instead they decided to act. They hurried off. The long-expected Messiah, Savior, had come. So when the angels finished praising God and returned to heaven, we see the second response of the shepherds. They hurried to Bethlehem. Although they hadn't been commanded to go, they knew the message was from God. They wanted to see God's gift. So they hurried to Bethlehem to see the Savior. And after searching, they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, just as the angel had told them. Unclean shepherds came to a smelly stable and found Christ the Lord lying on a bed of hay in an animal feeding trough. They weren't put off by the surroundings or the smells. They only had eyes for Jesus and for Him alone. They must have worshipped the baby and no doubt marveled at God's grace and God's goodness. They must have shared with Mary and Joseph what the angels had said. And beginning with Mary and Joseph, we see the shepherds' third response. They told others. They told others what they had seen and what they had heard. They didn't pull up a bale of straw and make themselves comfortable around the manger. They knew they were entrusted with the message from the angels. They had to tell others the good news. The message they shared had nothing to do with seeing the manger angels. There's no reference to Mary's magnificence or Joseph's job. They came to see the Savior Jesus, and they went out to tell the good news themselves. When they'd seen him, they spread the news concerning what they had been told them about this child. The word spread kind of means they made known to in such a way that people could understand. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And finally, they continued to glorify and praise God. They continued to glorify and praise God. They went back to their shepherding. But they weren't the same on the inside. They returned glorifying and praising God. God had fulfilled His promise to mankind. Parts of John 1:14 and Psalm 8:9 probably echo the words of the shepherds. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and of truth. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. Through faith, the shepherds believed the message that God sent them. They went and saw the baby. And after finding the baby, they told the good news to others as they glorified and praised God. Then they returned to their duties as shepherds. But they were changed men since they continued to praise God, even while they went back to the same old jobs. So thinking about the shepherds, what is your response to the coming of the Savior of the world? Like the shepherds, we received a message from God. Peter kind of summarized it in a sermon at Pentecost. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Jumping kind of in the middle of Peter's sermon. Acts chapter 2, beginning verse 22. Acts 2, verse 22. Peter preached, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." I'll jump down to verse 36. Verse 36 of Acts 2. "Therefore, that all Israel be assured this, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the others, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the message. Jesus loves you. He died for you and has risen from the dead for you. First question on the days just for Christmas. Have you accepted God's message? Have you made him your Lord and your Savior? If you have, if Jesus is truly your Lord and Savior, then you have a command from him. It's found in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. We call it the Great Commission. It's back there on that poster back there. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing or immersing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Telling the others about the Savior is a solemn obligation, as well as a great privilege. And we, like the shepherds, need to be faithful. As Paul wrote in Romans 10, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Those of us who are God's children need to tell. Really, we must tell others that Jesus saves. So Paul spoke for all of us in 1 Corinthians 9:16 when he said, yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. You may be the only Christian some people ever meet. They may not know the Bible, but they know you. Only you may have the opportunity to tell them the only way to salvation, the only way to be saved from an eternity in hell. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's our turn. We must pick up with the shepherds, the wise men, the angels, the prophets, and all those before us left off. It's our turn. It's our responsibility. We must tell others of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that the Son of David has come to earth. He came from heaven to identify with us, to die for us, to be raised up from the dead for us, and to intercede in heaven before the Father for us. This is the story of Jesus, a story worthy of praise and worthy to be told again and again. As children of God, people accepted God's gift of eternal life. The reason for our rejoicing starts with Jesus and the story of his birth, but it doesn't stop there. We're not only celebrating the birth of a very special baby, we're celebrating the Lamb of God who came to die for the sins of the world, for my sins, for your sins. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus that shows that his sacrifice was accepted for the forgiveness of our sins. We're celebrating his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who lives in each man and woman and child who belongs to God. With all of that, let us, like the shepherds, go forth glorifying and praising God, not just today, not just around Christmas time, but every day. And then we must go tell others that the Savior has come. Let's pray. Lord, this is a joyful time. But Lord, I'm afraid that there are so many people out there that don't know the reason for the season or why all this is here. So Lord, help us to be ready to share the reason for the trees, for the angels, for the lights, for the joy that we have. Lord, may we be quick to share your love, your gospel with others. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.